but a pure, apostolic, certain sound preacher I have not met. This is a man of God, a man who is a pastor of a great church, and who moves me every time he opens his mouth, because he is an anointed man of God. Would you welcome to Impact 98, Wayne Huntley of Raleigh, North Carolina.
I love you, Bub. Thank you.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Let's give the Lord one great big hand clap. I feel like somebody wants to clap their hands right now. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him, everybody. There's a praise in this house right now. Thank you, Jesus.
My Lord, have mercy. This is the first night, isn't it? And I know you folks down there probably cannot ascertain the reason I ask. If this is the first night for the first annual, this building is very comfortably filled tonight. It looks like a finale crowd. And the reason is, there is a great hunger for the will of God. Turn around to somebody and say, I've come to get something from the Lord. And as you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, I will preach as fast as I possibly can tonight, and not be in any duration of thought. Matter of fact, I don't really think I have to preach all that long, because one of those most unusual things has already happened in this meeting. And that is, Brother Cornwell did not know that he was going to preach. I was privileged to know that I would be preaching tonight. And he has just really preached my message. Matter of fact, I almost would like to ask, does anybody have a dictionary? He's pretty well covered the book tonight. I shall only be redundant and repetitive, because I will be preaching basically, if you boil it all down, the bottom line is going to be just what you have just heard. I really believe the Holy Ghost is trying to say something to the church. Matthew chapter 13. Thank you, Pastor Carney, committee, revivalists, visionaries, who have extended to me the marvelous opportunity of preaching in this lovely edifice and to such a tremendous group of people. Mississippi is one of my favorite places to preach. And I love Mississippi and appreciate all you folks that are here tonight from this state and the vast number of ministers who have come from across our nation coming to be stirred and challenged and blessed of the Lord. I give honor tonight to Brother Kilgore, District Superintendent, Texas, and also Brother Travis, the host district superintendent. What a privilege to be in service with these great men tonight. All the wonderful men of God that are before me and behind me, God bless you. I appreciate you, and thank God for the United Pentecostal Church. Matthew chapter number 13, and I'll read one verse of Scripture. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. St. John chapter 4 and verse 35. St. John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus speaking. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I would just like to inject this thought into our minds before we read the final verse. Jesus said the fields are white. I have read that the reason he said that is because the Samaritans, the entire city had come out in response to the testimony of the woman that met Jesus at the well. And they were coming over the hill and they were dressed in white. And Jesus said, don't say it's going to be 4 months. Lift up your eyes and look. And there the whole city was coming out. And they were dressed in white. Jesus said, the fields are white. I would like to add tonight in this conference of evangelism and impact that the field is no longer just white for evangelism. The field now is black. And the field now is brown. And the field now is yellow. Because it is now a worldwide revival. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon. We can't go any farther with that weak response. Upon. Shout all! This last day revival is going to break down every barrier. It's going to be on the whites. It's going to be on the blacks. It's going to be on the browns. It's going to be on all flesh. If you want that kind of revival, clap your hands and shout yes. And then I would like to read verse 36 of John chapter 4. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. He that reapeth receiveth wages. And then I'll lift for my point of emphasis tonight that the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while on the subject, the treasure is in the field. The treasure is in the field. Just what the man preached. The treasure is in the field. Put your Bible down and clap your hands and ask the Lord to help you. Everybody said in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Pentecost is in hot pursuit of the spiritual treasures of God. That statement is attested to and affirmed tonight by this tremendous crowd who have come to spend 2 nights and 3 days to involve themselves in sitting to receive the word of the Lord and hungry for direction from God. We are everyone on a spiritual treasure hunt. We come to the house of the Lord searching for the treasures of His riches and of His grace and of His goodness. And Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven. It's as though He was saying, I've already showed you this once. I've already told you this once. But I'm going to come back again and rehearse it and revisit it. And I might say at this point, the call of the Spirit in this advanced, progressive, highly motivated, moving moment for Pentecostalism is to come back to the basics. To return back to the basics. I spoke to a minister the other day in a camp meeting, and he was a young man ordained to the ministry. And his pastor had just ordained him and told him how this young man had won hundreds to the Lord in his local church. And now he's going to start a church. And I wanted to advise him of this. Once you are there for a period of time, there will be a strong temptation for you to move away from what made you what you are and cause you to become something that God cannot continue to bless in miraculous ways. Even though you bear the title of pastor, don't cease to be a soul winner. And so Jesus is calling us back. And He's saying, again, I say that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. And everybody is on a spiritual treasure hunt. And when it was discerned that the treasure was here, the scripture says that this man purchased the field. Everybody say the field. The reason is this. You cannot purchase the treasures. The treasures cannot be purchased. There are a lot of folks that come around Pentecost and they see the treasures that are in the church. And they want the treasures. But the treasures can't be separated. And the treasures can't be taken apart. And the treasures can't be taken away. You gotta buy the whole field. The treasures are not for sale. The treasures are in the field. There are a lot of illustrious, desirable, sensational, marvelous gifts and treasures that God has for the church. And yet, the call of the Spirit is to once again show us where they are. To bring us back to reality as to where the treasures can be accessed and acquired. The Spirit is calling us to go beyond maintaining, to go beyond entertaining, to go beyond embellishing, and for the church family to go back to the field. The call of the Spirit to the United Pentecostal Church in the 90s is to get out of the house and get in to the field. I think you will admit, if you are a pastor or if you work with congregations much, there is a spirit that I feel perhaps can be dealt with and a plague that can be remedied tonight if we can receive the word of the Lord. We're in a generation where in Pentecost there's a lot of frustrated saints. There's frustration on our pews. There is boredom in our pews. There is disgustment in our pews. There's disillusionment in our pews. Folks are saying, I come to church, but I thought there was going to be power here. I thought there would be peace here. I thought His precious presence would be here. I thought I'd see the supernatural manifestation. I thought I'd see the divine demonstration. I thought I'd see His protection, His power, His provision, and all of that. And they're disgusted because they can't find it. And the reason they can't find it is because the Bible said, it is hidden. where God wants the church, not in the house, but His treasures are in the field. If you want to know God's power, get in the field. If you want to know God's miraculous works, get in the field. If you want to see God's divine demonstration, get in the field. The treasures of the kingdom are hidden in the field. You say, I thought we were going to see God's glory. You will when you get in the field. I thought we were going to have revival. You are when you get in the field. I thought we was going to see miracles. You will in the field. God has hidden His treasures in the field. What the Holy Ghost is going to do during impact is stir us up to drive us in the field. In the field. In the field. In the field. Folks that like to hang around the house will never find the treasures. Folks that like to sit around the pews will never know the treasures. Folks that just attend church will never know the treasures. The treasures are in the field. Somebody shout yes! You may be seated. Homeboys are going to get bored. Folks who want to lay around the church house are going to get bored. Why is it that the missionaries always have the most exciting stories? Why is it that the home missionary always has a fresh story? The foreign missionary has a fresh story. I'll tell you why. The treasures are not in the house. The treasures are out there in the field. God said not everybody's going to find them. Not everybody's going to know them. But those that will get out of the comfort zone, those that will take it to the streets, those that will get in the field are going to find my treasures. Somebody shout yes! God's greatest manifestations and His greatest demonstrations can only be experienced in the field. He hid them there. He didn't want lazy folks to have them. He didn't want carnal, comfortable, professional Pentecostals to touch them. No, I'm not going to put them at the altar. And I'm not going to put them on the carpeted aisle. I'm going to put them out there in the field. And when you get out in the field, you'll find my treasure. Now, I know this is going to be a little different for you tonight, and it's going to be a stretch of your faith. But I want to tell you, I have seen God's greatest manifestations and God's greatest demonstrations, not in church, matter of fact, Brother Cornwell, preaching on Sunday night and preaching here is second to a good home Bible study in the field. Because you've heard the story. And I'm just repeating it to you. God helps me when I'm in church, but He supernaturally helps me when I'm in the field. The angels are in the field. Divine protection is in the field. His power is in the field. His miracles are in the field.
And as long as you stay in the house,
you'll never know anything about the treasures. Because the treasures are in the field. I don't usually do this. This is a rare moment for me. And I beg your indulgence because I want to tell you, this is not only a biblical principle, it is one that I have proven experientially. And so I'd like to share just a few illustrations. I'll make them as brief as I can. Because the treasures are in the field. When we got ready to go to Raleigh, North Carolina 20 years ago this past January, we were leaving Evangelistic Field and God had been good to us. God had blessed us and given us nice places to preach and great churches to preach in. And dear concerned friends of mine said, if you go to North Carolina to build a church, you'll never be heard of again. Your family will starve. Your ministry will die. Because they didn't understand the treasure is in the field. And as I began to pray about going, we were scared, of course. We were a little concerned to go to nothing, basically. And to begin to work for God. In a prayer meeting one night prior to going, I was scared to death. And the Lord spoke to me this word and said, if you will go, I will show you my power like you have never seen it before. Because I felt I was genuinely going into the field. And when we got there, it started happening. I started seeing things I've never seen. I started being a part of things I've never been a part of. Because you see, you can't sit on the pew. It doesn't happen on the carpet. It doesn't happen on the pew. It doesn't happen in the house. He said, no, I'm going to hide these things. And I'm going to put them somewhere where a lot of Pentecostals won't look. I'm going to put them where a lot of saints won't ever look. I'm not going to put it in the cathedral. I'm going to put them in the field. And for those who will dare to go to the field, I will show them the treasures of my kingdom. Woo! Somebody shout, the treasure is in the field. The treasure is in the field. The call of the Spirit is to take the family back to the field. We got to Raleigh. We had to sell some peanut brittle to make a little church payment. And I'm going to preach as fast as I can here tonight. Just let me tell you a few of these stories. So we got there and was going to sell a little peanut brittle to make the $320 a month church. No. A lot of money for five people, you know what I mean? And so we started selling peanut brittle. But we couldn't sell peanut brittle until we made it, so we couldn't make it until we bought a stove. So we went to a little old used place to buy a stove. And the man said, what do you want this stove for? I said, well, we're new in town. We're starting a church. We're going to sell peanut brittle to pay our church note and raise money for the church. And he said, okay. So I wrote him out a check for $100, bought the stove from him, like on a Friday or Saturday. On Sunday morning, he was in church. He and his wife. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. And when we received the offering, my check that I gave him was back in the offering. Because the treasure is in the field. My wife and I and Christy were living in a small house and we were sleeping on the floor because we didn't have any furniture. And so I was invited to preach at Texas Youth Camp. I figured with a little love offering I'd get from Texas, we'd buy us a couch or a refrigerator. We didn't have a refrigerator. Our dinette set was a little card table that we got out of the Sunday school room, you know, just a little fold away table. And so we went to preach that camp. And one night during that camp, a man called me outside. He said, Brother Honey, aren't you starting a church? I said, yes. He said, I need to talk to you. He said, an uncle of mine is a pretty wealthy man. And he said he wanted to bless somebody that was in the field. He said, do you know somebody that's starting a church? Do you know somebody that's out on the in the field? And he said, I told him I thought you were. He said, my uncle wants to give you this check. It was a check for $1,000. You don't get that hanging around the house. You don't get that sitting on the pew. You don't get that sitting around talking about the work of God. You get that in the field. I was teaching a Bible study, and every night I went over there. I won't call the name of the preacher. But every night I went over there, I tried to teach my Bible study, and the whole time I was trying to teach, they were asking me about this televangelist. And they were bragging on him the whole time I was there. Oh, what a great preacher he is. And how wonderful he is. And what do you think about him? And how do you feel about him? I just said, well, he's never preached for us. And I just went on, you know. Just kind of slough it off, you know. I'd almost die while I was in there trying to drink water because the cigarette was smoke was so bad in there. I couldn't hardly breathe. My eyes would water. And I couldn't hardly get my breath. And I hadn't coughed. And they thought I had a cold the whole time I was teaching the Bible study. It was their cigarettes. I walked out there one night to teach the Bible study. And the lady was standing beside a fence. And she said, Brother Honey, I need to ask you something. The strangest thing happened to me. She said, I was in the house the other day, and a voice spoke to me. And it said, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost not many days hence. She said, what does that mean? Does that mean anything? The next Sunday morning, she found out what it meant. She and her husband were filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, here's $1,000 for your building program. The treasure is in the field. Let me teach a Bible study to a denominational Sunday school teacher who happened to be an architect. Taught him a Bible study. He and his wife both receive the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, of course, in the church. He said, I understand you're needing to build a new church. I said, yes, we are. He said, well, in gratitude and in appreciation for you coming and teaching me the Bible study, I'm going to give all my services to the church absolutely free. I will build that church for you. He has built two buildings for us. His fees on the first building were $55,000. He said, that's free. The treasure is in the field. The treasure is in the field. I walked into a man's home. I was teaching him a Bible study. And he was a Cornelius of our area. And he said, tomorrow I'm going to go pray for my nephew. He's 42 years old. He just found out he's got cancer. I said, could I go with you? I'd like to pray for him. We went over. We met the man. While we were standing in the room, Brother Travis, the man had just got the news he was going to be dying shortly. He ran out of the room, and I could hear him in the background howling and screaming like you've never heard. In a few moments, he walked back. He said, please excuse me. I'm so sorry, but this is shocking. We prayed for him. I left. A few days later, I saw the man that I went over with, and I asked him, I said, how's your nephew doing? He said, I can't believe what happened. And I want to tell you, when you left, Brother Huntley, he said, who was that you had with you? He said, well, that's Pastor Huntley, First United Pentecostal Church. He said, no, it wasn't. No. No, that it couldn't have been him. He said, who was that? He said, I'm telling you, it was Pastor Huntley, First United Pentecostal Church. He said, no, it wasn't. I didn't see him. He said, Jesus came here. He said, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. His cancer got worse and worse and worse. I started teaching a Bible study. We didn't have time. We were running out of time. So I just knelt beside him one day and I said, Dennis, this is what you got to do. You got to repent. You got to be baptized in Jesus' name, receive the Holy Ghost. He said, when can we do that? I said, Sunday morning. Here come a whole entourage in the church down the aisle. He brought his whole family with him. Before we ever started church, he was weeping and crying. Needless to say, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. His whole family was filled with the Holy Ghost. There's about 15 of them come in the church. But I'm telling you, the treasure is not. You're not going to sit on the pew and have revival. You're not going to sit in this building and have revival. As beautiful as this is, it will not shake this town. It will not bring revival. The treasure is in the field. I have left home Bible studies. And I know many of you may be seeing, I'll quickly hurry up. I know a lot of you have. You know what I'm talking about. But I got in my car, my wife and I tried to act real cool and calm while we were in there. Get in the car and start home. And just start praising God, have to pull off the road. Ah, Lord, you know what? Did you hear what he said? He saw one God. Did you hear what he said? They're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Did you hear what they said? They're coming to our church next Sunday morning. The treasure is not in the church. The treasure is not in the house. The treasure is in the field. I want to tell you something. Nobody pays like Jesus. Some of you folks are trying to get an extra dollar. Some of you folks trying to get a few extra things in life. Let me tell you how to do it and what to do. You need to get rid of that second job. Start teaching Bible studies and watch God bless you. He doesn't bless the unemployed. He doesn't bless those that are sitting around. You go to work, you'll get paid. He that reapeth, receiveth wages. Excuse this little carnal presentation here, but it's so fresh on my mind, I'd like to share it. Young man in our church went out and started teaching a Bible study. Several guys play golf these days. He was getting interested in golf. Didn't have the money to buy any equipment. Didn't have any clubs. Didn't have anything. Teaching a Bible study to a man that was a former Catholic. Third lesson over there. The man got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. His whole family come into church. Cut the story short. But the bottom line was, he got ready to leave the Bible study one night. And the man said, somebody said you was getting interested in golf. He said, that's right. He said, what size shoe you wear? He said, 10 and a half. He said, I got a pair out here I'm going to give you. You got any clubs? He said, nope. He said, here's a whole bag. He gave him everything that he needed. Didn't cost him a dime. It just pays to get in the field. The treasure is in the field. The treasure is in the field. I'm going to tell you, if you'll go to work for God, He'll bless you. Here is a principle I learned many years ago, and I've never seen it fail. If you will make God's business your business, God will make your business His business. And I want to tell you, He's hiring right now. He's looking for employees right now. He'll heal you so you can work. He'll bless you financially so you can work. He'll bless your family so you can work. He'll give you power so you can work. He'll make you effective. Turn around somebody and say, you're not seeing what you want to see. You're looking in the wrong place. It's in the field. 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 There are people right down the street from your church that have the wherewithal to bless your church. There are people a block from you that have the ability to bring revival to your church. If you'll get in the field. Turn around to somebody and say, get out of the house. Get in the field. Come on, United Pentecostal Church. Thank God for our lovely buildings. Thank God for our padded seats. But the call of the Spirit. Get in the field. What would happen in the next 6 months if everybody here would get in the field? Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And here's the punchline. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And now, lo, I am with you all the way. Even to the end of the world. Brother Dole Spears was a very influential man in my life. He was preaching when I was converted at the age of 13. And he told me this story of how he was sitting on his platform. And God had been dealing with him for months to go to the foreign field and be a foreign missionary evangelist. But he was sitting on a nice platform like this, you know. Nice seats, wonderful people, lovely building. He said, I don't want to go. I like it here. God, I don't want to go. I like it here. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I told you that I would go with you. I will not sit with you. We're not serving a sitting God. We're serving a going God. And if you want Him to go with you, you're going to have to go. If church has gotten boring to you, if services have gotten mundane and ritualistic and habitual and unexciting and Pentecost doesn't thrill you anymore. The problem is you're not in the field. Ruth chapter 2. Sorry. Everybody shout in the field. So Naomi, this is the conclusion of Ruth chapter 1. So Naomi returned with Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. They came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. I just want to say this. Doesn't matter how you come. If you hit the church in harvest time. They came empty. They came broken. They came bitter. But they just got there at harvest time and caught the church in harvest. Doesn't matter how folks come to us if they can just find us in harvest. Doesn't matter what kind of condition they're in if they can just come and find us in the harvest. Before you leave here, I hope you'll be so fired up, you can't wait to get home and teach somebody a Bible study. You can't wait to get home and get you a bus. You can't wait to go knock the door. Matter of fact, you may be sitting, let me throw this in. Where do you get all them wonderful preaching illustrations? In the field. In the field. That's where you get all those exciting stories. We don't have many exciting stories to tell here. They happen out there. When I make a statement, you say in the field, and we'll preach fast, all right? Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of husbands, mighty man of wealth, family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to thee. Let me now go to thee. I want to go to the field. Not the gospel singing, not the ball game, not the pizza party. I want to go to the field. Nothing wrong with all of that, but don't neglect the field. Hey, I want to show you, you may be seeing, all of my revelations are so simplistic. I said, people look at me, really? I just got a revelation on holiness. Profound. So when I get through, act like you know, are amazed. It's profound. We're always looking for Bible reasons to tell people not to go to ball games. Looking for scriptures to tell them not to go play bingo. Or looking for scriptures to tell them, you name it, whatever. Bowling alley, you know, whatever. Ice hockey, professional basketball. Everything that's going on out in the world, we're against it. And we're looking for some reason to tell them why. I found a good reason why God's against all that. Because if you're a season ticket holder, and you're a member of this, and you've joined that, and you got to go to this, and you got to go to that, you got to go to this, and you got to go to that, the reason all that's wrong is you won't have time to work for God. The only Bible I need to tell you is we need to be in the field working for God, not watching some pseudo-hero. We don't have time to go sit down. We've got a message to carry. I'll never forget running into Sister Mang, well, not literally, but meeting her at the airport in Atlanta one time. She'd been out in our part of the world preaching, and I was going somewhere to preach. And we're coming down the corner, and I saw her. She saw me. And she ran over there and hugged me in the airport. And I said, Sister Mangan, I'm sorry I didn't get to come down and hear you. I knew you were in South Carolina. That wasn't far from me. I really wish I could have been there. She said, oh, no, honey. No, honey. You don't need to sit down and listen to me, baby. You got to carry this. You need to be preaching this. You don't have time to sit down and listen to me, honey. You need to be doing this. I've read my Bible from beginning to end many, many times. And I found out there's not a whole lot going to be going on in heaven. Whole lot going on. Matter of fact, my sister and I were going to teach on the eternal things one time, and I said, you take hell because there's more to preach on. And I'll take heaven because it's going to be the hardest part. Give you the easy part. And when I studied my Bible and got ready for material, about the only thing I could come up with is rest. Rest. Because God intends, when the trumpet sounds, for this church to be worn out. And if you're not tired tonight, you're probably not pleasing God. Heaven would be boring for you. But when God marches His church in, they're going to be weary of teaching Bible studies, knocking doors, having street rallies, reaching the lost, and telling people about God in the field. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field. Glean ears of corn after him, and whose side I shall find grace. Where do you find his grace? And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her half was to lie on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. When she got in the field, she got a revelation of the Master. She found out they were kin. There's some things you'll never know about him until you meet him in the field. And then he will get close to you like he's never been close to you before. But it only happens in the field. It only happens in the field. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Verse number 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. Go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men? They shall not touch thee. And when thou art thirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. He said, if you'll get in the field, I'll preserve you. You get in the field, I'll protect you. You get in the field, I'll provide for you. Verse number 12, the Bible said she was rewarded in the field. She got a recompense in the field. Verse 13 says, she was comforted in the field. Verse 14 said, she prospered and had plenty in the field. Verse 16, and I listened carefully to Brother Cornwell, hoping he'd get it right. Because if he'd have got it wrong, I'd let this point out. But since he got it right, I want to preach it. Everybody said, get in the field. She found handfuls. Wait now, be careful. Don't get it wrong. He got it right. Look at the book. What does it say? Handfuls. Oh. It doesn't say own. We've always wanted to slant, you know, that it wasn't no accident. It was handfuls on purpose. It was handfuls of purpose. One of the greatest reasons saints don't stay in the church is because they don't feel like they have a purpose. I'm going to tell you, you'll never last in this apostolic church if heaven is the only reason you come. You'll never last in this apostolic church if hell is the only reason you come. Somewhere, you got to get in the field and get your hands full of purpose. I've got a purpose in being here. I'm here to win souls. I'm here to save souls. I've got a purpose. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth. She was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. That speaks two things to me. Number one is revival, because she had sons. Number two is he took her to be his wife. That means she became his bride. That speaks of the rapture. In the field. It all happened in the field. Verse 15 of Ruth chapter 4. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. Oh. Pentecost can get old if you stay in the house. But if you want something to bring new life and something to restore you, it's waiting in the field. In the field. Soul winners can't wait for the pastor to call another 3-day fast. Soul winners can't wait for another prayer meeting. Soul winners can't wait to give an offering to build another new church.
But sometimes folks have been around a long time and haven't been to the field. That bothers them.
What do we need all this for? Can I meddle? Excuse me. This is a waste. You might say that if you haven't been to the field. But if you ever get out in that field, you're going to say, well, Brother Carney, what are we going to do next?
Because the harvest is ripe. It's ready. But the laborers are few. You say, I don't know how to do this, and I don't know how to do that, and I can't do this, and I wish I could teach a Bible study. He's going to tell you how. Be sure to be here. But I want to tell you, God's not looking for professors, and God's not looking for Bible college students, and God's not looking for Bible college teachers, and you don't have to have a high IQ. He said, laborers are few. All I need is a laborer. A laborer, somebody, pick that chair up, bring it over here. Take that chair over there. That's a labor. He don't have to know why he's doing it. He don't have to know how to do it. All he's got to do is do it. Just do what you're told to do. If you can read, you can win souls. If you can talk to people, you can win souls. In the field. In the field. Everybody remain standing. And the women and neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. Oh, they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse. Father David, who according to the lineage was the father of Christ. She got her name in the history books and became famous because she went in the field. I quickly conclude, remain standing. Listen to this. Everybody say in the field. 1 Samuel chapter 6, and for the sake of time, I drop to verse 13. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest. Where do you reap the wheat harvest? They were in the field, and they lifted up their eyes, and they saw the ark and rejoiced. The ark had been gone for 20 years. But the first ones to see glory coming back. We're not sitting in the house. The first one that saw the ark to come back were those that were in the harvest gathering. And somebody said, hey, look, that comes. Glory's coming back. Power's coming back. Revival's coming back. Woo! The first ones to see revival are those that are in the field. The first ones to see the glory are those that are in the field. Recently, a preacher was invited back to preach at a church where he had pastored for many years. He had not been what we would call successful. He left there in despondency.
He left there not at all happy with what had happened and what he was leaving. Another pastor came. A mighty revival broke out. Souls were filled. A new building was built. The crowd was large. And out of the niceness and kindness of the heart of the new pastor, he asked the old pastor to come back and preach. When the old pastor stood in the pulpit, he preached his sermon. And he was just about ready to quit. And he said, "Oh, this building. Oh, this crowd." This is his words. "I didn't know you were out there." He said, "I didn't know you were out there." I'm going to tell you right now, they are out there in the field. So whenever I'm asked to preach somewhere, privileged for the Dykes to preach somewhere, even tonight, I have to cancel my Bible studies. And it's not easy to say I can't be there. I've got to go preach somewhere. Our time in the field ought to be more precious and vital than our times in the seminar. Learning. So let's do it like this tonight, first of all. While Sister Huntley sings this chorus of song, you're not pleased with your crowd? They're out there. You need money for a building program? They got money in their pocket. Ready to give it in the field. Everything you need to evangelize your city is in the field. The treasure is in the field. Preachers, I've heard it said, sheep beget sheep. If that's true, then you are a sheep too. And nobody gets above or beyond the field. I'd like for every pastor, every minister that would like to get in the field. You want to be a soul winner. Step to the front. Bring your wife with you. I want to be a soul winner. After the ministers are here, then we'll invite the laity. But leadership has got to lead the way. It's in the field. You get in the field, next year you'll have stories to tell. You get in the field, next year, you'll have some testimonies. You'll have some powerful witnesses. The treasure is in the field. How long's it been since you taught a Bible study? Are you teaching any right now? Have you been in the field? Are you going to the streets? Knocking doors is still in style. Passing out tracts is still in style. Running buses and picking up people is still in style. The treasure is in the field. One last little illustration. I just happen to think about it when I preach it. Father's Day weekend, a lady came to me and said, with tears, my husband and I would need to speak to you personal. I thought, uh-oh, you know, the old positive attitude, pastor. They're crying. What kind of problem is this? Come into my office. Step into the office. This is a lady that I taught a home Bible study to her whole family tree. About 20 people got the Holy Ghost out of that one home. She went away from God for a while. Now she's back. They said, a few weeks ago, God spoke to us. And we've got to do this. And we want to do this. And we must do this. And they handed me a check for $50,000. This is for the building program. If you came to our church, you'd never pick them out. You'd never know who they were. I said, here's $50,000. The treasure is in the field. When she was a teenager, I baptized her, prayed her through out of a home Bible study, Sister Huntley and I. If you saw today's USA Today, riding up the road where the battle still brought to my attention, there's a big article there about a soccer player. His name is Roy Lassiter. It's almost a half page in today's USA Today. Roy Lassiter, his brother Eric, and their mother. I taught them a home Bible study in Raleigh, North Carolina, when he was on the North Carolina State soccer team. All three of them got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. His brother is a licensed preacher now with the United Pentecostal Church. His mother teaches Sunday school in our church. Half page in the USA Today about Roy Lassiter. He called me 2 weeks ago. This past Sunday, he visited Brother Libby's church where he is stationed right now with his team. Soccer's not right. Professional sports is not right. But I believe there'll be a day when Roy Lassiter will come back to God. Today's the perfect. You get today's USA Today and you'll see the big article of Roy Lassiter. My wife and I spent many weeks in their home. Taught them home Bible study. One of them to God. The treasure is in the field. What am I doing here? I got to get back to the field. I got to get back into the field. That's where I feel my best. That's where I see God. That's where God helps me. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to help us get in the field. That's the voice of the Spirit. The treasure is in the field.